Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to the live stream. Welcome here at South End Baptist Church. We're glad to have you worshiping with us this morning, seeing some familiar faces as folks are able to feel comfortable coming back out. Thanks for joining us today. We're going to begin with a word of prayer, but we're just very grateful. Just kind of as I mentioned, as we enter our prayer time, I was told that Paul Clark has open heart surgery tomorrow sometime over in a hospital in the D.C. area. So we'll pray for him. So, and any others that you might have needs or requests for, remember that as we pray. So join me in a time of prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this time that we can gather worship. We are very grateful that we're able to gather together again and see one another and experience this time of corporate worship where we are able to express our love for you and express our heartfelt thanks for all that you've done in our lives. Bless this time. May you be exalted in it and through it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. So I forgot to do this last week, but you don't have to stand. You don't have to shake anybody's hand. But just look next to you and just say hello. Well, maybe not the person next to you, but across, because you've seen that person next to you for a while. So just say hello, hello. And I want to read Psalm 9, 1 through 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So that's actually stuck out at me when we were actually doing the Sunday school. But so, like before, you don't have to sing, just to stay seated if you want to sing through your mask, perfectly fine. But you can just also sit and read the words and listen to the music. But we will begin with worship.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Thank you.
Song, What a Savior. It's an oldie but a goodie, as people say. And I was actually listening to the person who sang it, Laura Story. I want to say that's her name. And she was kind of, she didn't write it, but she was saying how much this song kind of meant to her as she was a Christian at a young age, but then as time went on in her life, she realized that how much she needed a Savior every day. Every morning she woke up, she said, you know, with everything I do, I need him, with sin, with everything that's going on in the world around us. We need him. And one of her favorite lines, actually, was one of my favorite lines that's stuck out, is it said, "You stood in my place, taking my shame upon your shoulders." And that just goes to show how much we need him and that what he has done for us. So if you don't know it, you can also just listen to the words, but it's a good song.
Go ahead and put it in the spot. Go ahead. Get everything situated here. Well, good morning, everyone. Those of you that will be with us today, we're very grateful that you're able to be here. And those who are watching on our live stream, we're grateful to have you with us as well. As the days continue, we'll hopefully be able to continue to meet more and more of us together. But whenever you feel comfortable, we leave that up to you. Right now, we still have the basic restrictions when we meet and gather together. So remember that as we continue to walk through that, and pray for us as we continue to try and add more and more to what we're able to do as a church fellowship. If you have your copy of God's Word this morning, go ahead and turn to Genesis, the very first chapter. We're going to look at the very first verses of Genesis, because what we're going to look at this morning is we've been looking at the names of God over the last several weeks. We're going to look at the name of God that is most often used in the Scriptures, and it's Elohim. And Elohim is used almost 700 times in the Old Testament, referring to God. It's also used to refer to other gods as well. It's just a common term, but what it literally means is the living God, is what Elohim means, and we'll get into that in a moment. So obviously we don't have to stand. I'm going to let you remain seated as I read to you this morning, and you read it, follow along your copy of God's Word, Genesis 1. We're going to read the entire chapter, even though our focus is just those first few verses. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, there was morning, one day. Then God said, 'Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters.' God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below, the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, there was morning, a second day. And God said, 'Let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear,' and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, 'Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds, and fruit trees, and earth-bearing fruit, and the earth-bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them,' and it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, a third day. Then God said, 'Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let there be signs from the seasons and for the days and the years. And let them be lights in the expanse of heavens to give light on the earth.' And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the lights from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening, there was morning, the fourth day. Then God said, 'Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth and open the expanse of heavens.' God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth.' There was evening, there was morning, a fifth day. Then God said, 'Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their own kind, cattle with creeping things, the beasts of the earth after their kind,' and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind, and it was good. Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' Then God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which is yielding seed, and it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the sky, and everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day.'" Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. I thank you for how the author of Genesis speaks to us here in this great reminder that everything begins with you. You are the source of life. You're the source of all that we experience. And I pray that as we look at this morning, as we just take a few moments to walk into what it means, to what your name means to us and how that changes us, that Father, your Holy Spirit speaks to us and reminds us of the great power, the great wonder, and all that is involved in knowing who you are and your willingness to be known by us. Bless this time and use it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, kind of wondering where I would start with all this. It's kind of an interesting name to deal with. As I mentioned, Elohim means the living one, the living God. And it is a name used to describe who God is. And there's a lot of things about this name and a lot of things about the characters of God, character of God that we see in this text. I remember in way back in the day, I won't tell you how long ago it was. It was a long time ago when I was in college in an Old Testament class. I had an Old Testament professor, and Dr. Mario Tini used to say it this way. He said, the first three words of the Bible are really all you need. The rest is commentary. And the first three words are Elohim bara bereshit, which means in the beginning God created. That's it. Or in the beginning, God. That's the beginning. That's where it starts. God is the beginning. Not that we created him, not that we made him up in our minds, but he is the source of all things, is what the author of Genesis is trying to get across to us. And what the Word of God tries to teach us as it goes on through the remainder of the text and the remainder of the Bible to describe the story of God and who he is and his work, not only among the earth, the planet, but more importantly, his work in the hearts and lives of his people that he has called out and set apart for his purposes. This living God that we worship and that we celebrate and we sing songs about is one that has always existed. Now, we could get into all those details about God, and it would probably make our heads hurt a little bit. At least it does mine when I think about that God always is. He never was. He just is. And that's hard for my little mind to grasp. Maybe some of you are a little bit bigger minds than me, which is probably so, and you understand things in a little broader sense, and that makes sense to you. But the reality is that God just always is. And that's the reality of what we're seeing here in Genesis 1, this idea of who Elohim, who he is, who our God is that we worship, that we serve. He always has been. His desire is to simply, he is. And so out of that, who he is, he then created us, which is what this is the story of in Genesis. And did you notice what it said that we were made in his image? Did you catch that? Every one of us are created in the image of God. We didn't just happen. We didn't just kind of crawl out of the primordial ooze. We didn't just show up on planet Earth and over time get here. We were made and created in the image of God to accomplish a purpose that he has created us for. And that's one of the great struggles we have in our culture, in our world, is that some people think this is just a nice fairy tale to make us feel better about ourselves. And some people believe that. As I look at the Word of God and understand in my own experience the reality of just the complexity, and we'll get into that in a few moments, the complexity of who we are as created beings and the world in which we live, it really makes it hard to believe that this all just kind of happened. Makes it very difficult, but that this God who loves us, this God who is alive, this God that desires to create us and to have a relationship with us is the God that we worship, the Elohim, the living God, the one that calls us to himself and chooses to draw us to himself, even though we may not feel the need to be drawn. Remember, it's God that draws us. We don't walk around thinking, oh, I guess I need God. I don't know what's going on. It's God who implants us, who draws us to himself. He shows us himself. And you remember what that was like, those of you before you became a follower of Christ, those days when you were kind of wandering around and weren't really sure. There was something that God used, or someone maybe that God used, maybe a pastor, maybe a good friend, that began to share with you about God's love for you. And you began to, your interest was piqued, and things began to change in your spirit, and you began to listen. That was the Holy Spirit at work, drawing you to God. And for many of you who may not have come to that point at this time in your life, God is drawing you as well. He is seeking to bring you to himself. He is drawing you in that relationship. By the work of the Holy Spirit, he is trying to encourage you, to help you see exactly who he is. And the same God that is in this moment in Genesis 1, the same God that from him and by his word, all things that exist were spoken to being. Think about the kind of power that must be. That you're able to simply think it, speak it, and there it is. Wouldn't you like that power? Maybe, maybe not. That could be dangerous to have that kind of power. But the reality is we have that power, that our God has that power. We don't have it. He has that power. He has that ability to speak it into existence, and he does that here. Everything that we see, I love how the scripture describes it, that the world was kind of just like this mess. It was formless and void. There was no structure to it. And then God spoke, and everything changed. And maybe your life and my life is kind of like that at points in our lives. Remember, before we came to know Christ, for those of you that are believers, you remember what your life was like, and you had a purpose and a direction, and it was kind of, you know, here and there. And then God engaged your life. God interrupted your existence. God intervened in your life, and it changed everything in your perspective, your reality. What you thought was significant, what you thought mattered, changed because of that encounter that you had with God. And he does the same thing here in creation. But he does the same thing every day in the hearts and lives of those whom he calls out and seeks to draw to himself, that being you and I and others on this planet. And I look at our world today, and we've all seen a lot of the chaos that goes on in America and in planet Earth in general in our world. A lot of the questions, a lot of the people saying, well, what's going on with all the chaos and all the disruption, all the violence, all the different things that seem to be, you know, everything seems to be out of control. Is that a fair assessment? But you know who's not worried about it at all? The King of the universe, Elohim, the Almighty, the living God. He's like, okay, yeah, y'all, okay. He knows, because he knows what's going to happen. He knows what he's going to do. Do you think God was surprised when all this stuff started taking place in our country? You think he's like, oh gosh, I didn't know they'd do that. Think that's what God thought? No, God does, nothing takes him by surprise. And one of those things about God, you hear me talk about a lot, is that God lives in what's known, the theologians call it the eternal now. Think about that for a minute. The time he describes here in Genesis 1, the beginning of all things, now to the very end of time, is all like now to God, today. He's there. He doesn't have to foreknowledge or think about it or analyze it and determine how it's going to happen. He's there in the middle of it. Now, how that works, I really don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. But in a lot of ways, it makes perfect sense to me about God, because God transcends time. God transcends everything. He's God, hence the title. Elohim, the living God. He is not restricted by the things that restrict people like me and people like you. He's eternal. And he's able to do the work that he does in and through us because of who he is. That's why he's able to look at my life and your life. And you know, sometimes we think we have a plan. If anybody ever thought they had a plan and they were moving along in that plan pretty good and that plan didn't work out, has anybody ever had that happen besides me? A few of you will admit to it. Okay, good. I mean, that's what happens to us in life. We kind of go through that plan. We try to think we've got it all figured out. God, we're going to do it this way. This is exactly what we're going to do. And we keep moving along and then it just kind of just whatever. But you see, God always has a plan for you. He has a purpose and a direction for your life. And he's willing to unfold that to you and reveal that to you as you follow him, as you trust him, as you walk with him. He will help you to see what he's trying to lead you to do and help you to understand who you are in light of his grand story, of his grand purpose and plan for the whole world. It's an amazing thing to think about, that God would allow us, his created beings, allow us to have a part in the huge plan that he has for all the world. But he does. We're part of the plan of redemption that God has, the plan that through Jesus Christ, that redemption that we've experienced as followers of Jesus Christ, we now have a part in his plan to take that news to the ends of the earth, don't we? That's our role. That's why we're still here. Otherwise, really, what's the point? Why didn't he just, when we get saved, he calls us home and we go to heaven, we don't have to worry about it anymore. It'd be great, right? But that's not the plan that God has. The plan that God has is to use us to be a part of spreading that truth, spreading that and sharing that message of love, both by word and deed. In whatever way we can, we share of his goodness and grace. And the living God is at work in us. He is moving us forward to call us to be his children, to enable us to flesh out who he's made us to be, and to experience that goodness and grace that he has shown us, and then to share that with others. And many of you have done that and had that opportunity to experience that, to share Christ's love with others in tangible ways or in other ways, just a variety of ways we share his love with others. And through that, God uses that to draw others to himself. Because his intent always when he made humanity was that we would fellowship with him, that we would have a relationship with him, that we would come to know him. And it's different than the way the angels know him. And the angels know him as well, but pretty much the angels just worship him. That's their focus. They're kind of almost like locked into that plan, although we know a third of them went crazy. But anyway, well, that's a whole other story. But we have been given that opportunity to willfully choose to love him and to respond to him. There's something about it when believers in Jesus Christ express their love to their Creator that I believe touches the heart of God and changes the atmosphere. Maybe you've experienced it. Maybe hopefully you experienced it this morning. You've experienced it yourself. Have you ever kind of been going around, maybe you're driving in the car and a particular song comes over the radio and it just speaks to you in the moment? Does that ever happen to anybody? A few, okay. And you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the song is. Everybody is different. We're unique individuals. That's fine. It doesn't matter the style. That's not an issue. The issue is there's a certain times there's a song that it resonates with your spirit in it. And that's a divine interaction as the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through that time and drawing you into worship. Or maybe it's the time you're sitting there in your daily time, you're reading God's Word, and you encounter a verse of Scripture, and you've read that verse of Scripture many times, but suddenly, in that moment, as you engage the text, it's almost, we say almost like because it is, the voice of God through the Holy Spirit speaking to us in that still, small voice, drawing us, and we see it like we've never seen it before. And God's Word begins to change us, and we begin to have a knowledge and understanding of it that we never had before, and we begin to see the application, and just all kinds of things that come out of that, because this Word of God that we study and read, although it was penned and authored by men and women, was, yeah, God-breathed. That's what it means to be inspired. Did you know that? The Word of God is God-breathed. The Holy Spirit's breath is all over it. And as He speaks to us through it, that means different verses that we look at or the same verse can begin to speak to us, not because it's got some special magic power, because the Holy Spirit reveals something to us that we never saw before. Has that ever happened to anybody else? Oh my, I hope so. If it hasn't, you need to read the Bible more. And it can even happen in the book of Numbers, yes. For those of you that haven't read through the book of Numbers, it's challenging. It's the one with all the begats and the names that we can't pronounce anymore because we don't speak like that. And we never, you know, I don't speak Hebrew, so I don't know what those names are. I can mispronounce them with the best of them. I mean, that's no problem. But even in the middle of all that, you can hear the Holy Spirit speak to you in ways that maybe you never thought about. As we think of God's greatness and God's goodness here, you know, Elohim, I want us just to think for a few moments about a couple things about us. I mentioned it in passing earlier, but have you ever thought about how intricately you were designed? Think about your body. Now, I know our bodies don't always function like we'd like them to, right? Don't go there. It happens. But think about the design of everything in us, our circulatory system, our respiratory system, everything about us. You know, we've got the skin that covers our bodies, and sometimes we don't like it, you know, we don't, whatever. But all of that, the way we were uniquely designed, I mean, it's just incredible when you think about how it all works together. And one of the things I've had the privilege of in my chaplain training is to be around a lot of doctors and nurses who know a lot more about this stuff than I do, and to talk with some of them as we have opportunity just to hear their insights about the human body, about what they've experienced and what they've seen, you know, in their as they encounter and help people through those processes. And it's amazing to see how this thing that we're clothed in, this flesh that we have, is so intricately designed. And not even just what we see, but think about beneath the skin, all the things that are going on. And the skin is made up of, what, millions, billions of cells, something like that? An incredible number of cells that it's made up of. And each of those cells is alive. Did you know that? And has a unique system that keeps it going. And each of the cells are different for each part of it. It's just amazing. And all that just, you know, happened over billions and billions of years, right? That's what happened. That make a lot of sense to you? It doesn't to me. But that's the design of God there. And then you take a look. Have you ever taken a look at night up into the heavens on one of those really nice clear nights where you could just see, it seemed like you saw all the stars in the universe? I know you don't because your eyes can't see that far, but you see all these stars. You've seen the heavens and, you know, it's just incredible to think about untold numbers of miles. Hundreds of billions of miles from here, there's these places we can't even see. There's all these stars, and the universe has just got all this. And a lot of the stars we see aren't suns. They're actually galaxies. You know that, right? Because they're that far away. But all of that just kind of out there for an unimaginable distance in the expanse of the universe. And yet it all kind of functions. Have you ever wondered why our solar system works the way it does? Just perfect precision. Just a few miles variance one way or another. And we would either be barbecued, is that okay to say this time of year? Or we would freeze to death. But the orbit of the Earth around the sun is at that perfect distance. And you know, it's not a circle. We know that. It kind of, you know, we know that. But it's amazing how it's, and until everything is just like it's set up just perfectly for life. And I was reading in a scientific journal a while back, this is one of the statements they made, that literally it is almost impossible for life to develop from chance. They were talking about the Big Bang and how all that happened, and you know, and the odds that we would even exist are just astronomical. They don't even make sense. We should not be here. And I thought about that. I mean, these were, you know, people with lab coats, right? They're really smart, you know, and they were saying it doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense unless someone intervenes, right? Unless Elohim, the living God, decides, okay, I'm going to make a world. And out of that world, and all the different things become, all the different forms of life. And I know a lot of you get into different things, and you're into gardening, not into gardening. But I know many of you are. That's great. The reason I'm not into gardening is because I kind of like people. I like plants. And if I garden, plants die. Has anybody got that gift that I call it the brown thumb. Exact opposite of my father. My father had the green thumb. He could grow anything, but I could not do it. I just can't. I've tried it. Debbie and I have tried the gardening thing, and it just didn't work for us. So we just gave it up. And that's okay. I mean, it's not for everybody. But the amazing thing about how all that stuff just works so well, and you know, from a little seed you get a plant, and from a plant you get fruit, something you can eat. I think of Psalm 19:1, a psalm many of you may know. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Just a reminder, when we look and see all the things that God has provided, all the things that God has done for us, all the ways that God has shown his presence and his power, go back to his creation of the world and the universe and all that we see and even the things that we can't see, that he is able to do those things and remind us and speak to us in a way that just goes beyond us, that God could do all of that and yet be so intimate and close with one of his creatures as if he's as close as our next breath. And one of the verses in Scripture that always comes to mind when I think of God and the greatness of God and the beauty and the power of God is a verse in Romans 5:8, part of the Romans Road that we talk about, all the different verses that we've looked at, and pretty much I'm sure every child in Awana knows Romans 5:8. If they get to a certain point, I don't know when they memorize it, but it's just a common verse, but it says, "But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I want you to think about that. I'm going to unpack it just in a few moments. Believe it or not, I'm getting near done, so that encourages everybody, right? But think about that God demonstrates his love for us, for each of you, for me, for everybody, and that while we were yet sinners, and that sinner's word is really loaded with a lot of things there, and what that means rebellious. And if you were in the Sunday school time earlier, Tim described Babylon. Babylon was known as, it is pretty much the worst city that's ever, it was a city empire, the worst place on planet Earth. It makes Sodom and Gomorrah look like a, you know, choir club. I mean, it really was bad with all the things that went on in Babylon. And that's where Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and several other Jews lived in the midst of that horror, in the midst of that mess for 70 years. God exiled many of his people to Babylon. And that's sin, is that focus, that thing that we have in all of us, that rebellion against God, that self-centeredness, that self-sufficiency that we are seeing just displayed in all its glory on planet Earth in the United States today. Would you agree with that? I mean, the sin of self-centeredness is at work in America. It's on full display. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. I don't care about anything else. It's all about me. I don't care what I do if I destroy your dreams. It doesn't matter. I don't care. That's the heart of sin. And we are all that way. But in spite of that, Christ died for us, is the second part of that. Why would God care to intervene with such rebels as ourselves? Why would he desire to make a difference in the lives of people like me who really all I want and all you want is what's best for us, right? Just leave me alone. I can take care. I just want to do what's best for me. And yet in spite of that, God loves us too much to leave us mired in our self-centeredness and in our foolishness and seeks to deliver us by sending his son. That, my friends, is the best news I have ever heard in my life. That God would care enough about me, that this mighty one, this glorious God, this living God, this beyond understanding, a God that I can't even really wrap my mind around, and none of us can. We can catch glimpses of it and understand portions of who he is, but to really, truly understand God is impossible in the flesh. We just don't have that in us. It's too much. I mean, for most of us, we can't understand geometry, so how are we going to understand God? Right? And then there's that nightmare called calculus. I don't even know why that was invented. I think it was to torture people. But anyway, had it, would agree with me probably. So And yet, God is so beyond anything we can put down on paper, isn't he? And yet, he desires to come and be near to us. He desires for us to engage, not in just knowing about him, not in just studying books and facts and figures, and so we can know the 5 or 10 points about God. You know these 10 things, you got it. No. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with him, to encounter him, to speak with him, to know him, and to listen to him. Let him engage us. And that's why we're here, isn't it? That's why we gather as believers in Jesus Christ on a regular basis, regardless of what church you attend. You gather because you want to hear not what the pastor says so much, but what God has to say to you. Because what the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you through what I say, whatever, or even maybe in spite of what I say, that happens too a lot. Whatever it is, as God speaks, that's really what your soul craves, is you want to hear from your Maker. You were wired. You were designed that way. You were designed to engage him and to hear from him. He made you that way because he wants you to understand who he is as best you can and begin to grasp his care and his love for you in ways that maybe you never thought about before. Elohim loves you. The living God, the creator of all that is, desires you and wants you to be a part of his family. See, that's the interesting thing about the Christian faith over a lot of other faiths or belief systems in the world, is that it dares to believe that we can have a relationship with our Creator. Not just knowledge. You know, not just a set of religious rules and orders about him and how he conducts himself, but that we can actually engage him because he makes himself available to us. I mean, that's the whole point of Jesus coming, isn't it? One of his names is Emmanuel, which means God with us. When you look in Exodus, when the children of Israel were going through all their mess and not listening to God and trying to, you know, follow Moses and on the worst camping trip ever, is Exodus. That's what it is. It's like a nightmare camping trip that goes on for 40 years. You guys think you have those long weekend camp? How many of you hate camping? I'm just curious. I figured there's, why didn't your hand go up? I know you hate camping. So, I mean, she's told me, I mean, I grew up camping. I love camping. Now, I don't know if I'd want to go camping for 40 years. You know, that sounds like not a good deal, you know, breaking, just crazy. But that, on that camping trip, they constantly were rebelling against God and constantly not listening to God and constantly just complaining. And then again and again and again, God provided for them. God cared for them. God showed them things that they never would have seen because he was trying to reveal himself to them. He was trying to get them to know him, not just to know the 10 facts about him or whatever number of facts that needed to be known. He wanted them to know him personally so that they could speak to him. And that's his desire for you today. And if you have never had that encounter with him, if it's always just been things you know about and just something you talk about, and the Bible's just a book that, well, it's got some nice stories in it and some good things to hear and some nice lessons, and it does have that. I'm not saying it doesn't, but if that's all it is, you're missing out, folks. Because it's not just about knowing the book. The author wants you to know him too. The one who's the inspiration behind it all, the one who breathes it into those who wrote it, that person wants you to know him. I don't know how that makes you feel. I don't know how you think, what you think of that, if that creates any response in you at all. I know as I was working and preparing for this and going about it and thinking about the reality that the God of the universe, the one and only, the one who, he doesn't have, like, you know, any competition. It's just him. He's it. He is the supreme God of the universe. There's no one else. He wants to know me, and he wants to know you. He wants to engage us in a relationship and begin to reveal more and more of himself to us and teach more and more about himself so that we can begin to understand not just him, but ourselves and why we are here and why we are made. and that we might become the men and women that He has created us to become. Because once you begin to understand who you truly are, it changes the way you live, doesn't it? It really does. It happens that way in every area of life. But it really comes down to each of us and what we want to do about it. Do we want to just make this a bunch of platitudes and a bunch of things we think about? Or do we really want to engage the living God of the universe? Pray with me. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for all that You have said to us. And I hope, Father, today You've used this time in some way to say something through me to Your people today. I just pray Your blessings upon this time, wherever folks, whether they're here or whether they are watching us online, Father, that You use this time for the Holy Spirit to speak to hearts and lives of people and to draw them to Yourself. Lord, we are very grateful for who You are and what You've done. Draw us unto You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, obviously, we won't have our typical invitation time, but this is a time to respond for you. If you want to ever talk to myself or anyone regarding any decisions you want to make, feel free to either, you can send me a text, you can send me an email. I know it's kind of different than we used to do it. You know, we have the altar call. It's kind of the way we do an altar call now, for now. But just be willing to respond. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. And any concerns we can help you with. So, folks.